Just like to say good morning to each and every one. It's good to see each and every one this morning that has come out to the house of the Lord to sing praises and to study a portion of God's holy and divine word. Good to see our visitors here visiting with us this morning. We thank God for you. We want you to know that you are honored guests this morning. We just hope and pray that while you're here, that if anything that we can do at Longwood to help you with your stay, by all means, let us know. It's good to see the children here this morning in the house of the Lord, sitting around the table of God. Yeah, I told a story. Some of you probably have heard this before, but I like telling the story about the children. A person invited a preacher to come by their home for dinner. And when the preacher arrived there, the little boy says, "Mr. Jones," said, "do that animal trick for us." And his parents looked around and said, "What is he talking about?" He said, "Mr. Jones, do that animal trick for us." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Dad, oh, you know, you say Mr. Jones can eat like a pig." And so this morning, I'd just like to say that if we don't want it told, then don't tell children. But it's good that we have our children here this morning around God's table. Because if we do not get to our children now, in the future, we may not be able to get to them. So we do our best to get to our children now in the times that we're living in. We're living in perilous times. I have a lesson this morning coming from the Bible, coming from the book of St. John. And the subject this morning is doing the right thing the wrong way. And you might say, "Well, how is that possible?" Well, I just want to, later on in our example of the scripture, is to show us how we can do the right thing the wrong way. One of the things that we find in this world today, that people that do the right thing the wrong way, is this word here I want to use this morning. Make sure I'm spelling this right. I'm not one of the brothers that can speak and spell at the same time, so I have to be quiet when I'm writing. I know Brother Dennis has that gift of speaking and writing and spelling at the same time. I don't have that gift. Now, I can spell, but I have to think about what I'm saying and doing. But the word is worship this morning that we want to look at this morning. That we'll find that people can do the right thing the wrong way. I want to use these passages of scripture in the book of St. John, chapter 4. And I want to start at verse 21. And this is Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. Notice this conversation. Start at verse 21. The Bible says, "Jesus said unto her," he said, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." He says, "Ye worship, ye know not what." We know what we worship. And this is one of the problems that we have in this world, that people worship and do not know what they are worshiping or how to worship God. And the Bible says that the one that are in the Church of Christ know. We know what we worship. Now notice, it says that, "For salvation is of the Jews. See, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He says, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So God is a spirit, and they that worship him, and I want us to look at this word must. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, God is the only one that can tell us what we must do. I can't tell you what you must do, but God can. He made us. And brothers and sisters and friends and visitors, it makes a difference how we worship God. We just can't worship God any way that we want, and God will accept it. The Bible says, God said we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to use this lesson this morning just to use a few examples about doing the right thing the wrong way. But before we go any further into this lesson, we count this as a blessing as well as an opportunity to always go to God in prayer. So at this time, let us humble ourselves where the one has been selected to lead us in prayer. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so when we are seeking the Lord, God will reward us for that seek. And we thank God this morning for all of his blessings this morning. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the articles of God. If any teach, and any minister, let him do it with the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that's what I hope to do this morning, is just to speak a few words from the Bible this morning, according to the Bible. And as the scripture that I read this morning in the book of St. John, the Bible teaches us, as the brother prayed in his prayer as well, that we must worship God in spirit and also true. Spirit and in truth. And when we speak of spirit, you find that some people say that I am full of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. Now, I have never heard anyone in the Church of Christ make that statement, that they are full of the Holy Spirit. But you hear people say that, and mostly it's people that use that word, they are not Christians. And they say, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said this, or he said that. In their mind, they believe that the Spirit is separate from the Word of God. Because when they say they are full of the Holy Spirit, they don't even know the Word of God. And you cannot separate the Spirit from the truth. They are synonymous. You can't separate it. So when a person says that they are full of the Holy Spirit, what they're actually saying is that they are full of the Word of God. And I don't know anyone that's alive today that's full of the Word of God. The Bible says God has given us a gift of his word, and we have to study to increase our wisdom and our knowledge and understanding of God's word. No one alive today is full of the word of God. Now, I want to suggest, as I said earlier, I want us to look at that passage of scripture of John when the Bible teaches the woman at the well in the book of John chapter 4. When Jesus teaches in verse 24, it says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him, the Bible says, must worship him in spirit and in truth. That word must. You see, if it didn't make any difference how we worship the Lord, God would just say, worship me, if it didn't make any difference. But he said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That word must. And brothers and sisters, this morning, you have people that all over this world have come together to worship God. All over the world. And I believe that some are sincere. They want to do the right thing. And they want to go home and live with God when they die. But they are worshiping the Lord the wrong way. And if we worship God the wrong way, God will not accept it. Want us to notice a passage of scripture here. Come with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. And we want to look at 8 and 9 of that book. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, though he, speaking of Jesus, were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect. Now that word being made perfect, Jesus did not learn to be a perfect man through the things that he suffered, because he was already perfect. But he became the perfect priest through his suffering. The Bible says that he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Friends, we have to obey God. If we want to go home and live with him, we have to obey. The Bible says that Jesus is the author and he's the finisher of our faith. And if we want to go to heaven and live with God eternally, we have to obey Jesus if we want to do that. Notice, I want to give another passage of scripture, and we find this in the book of Matthew. We're familiar with these passages of scripture, Matthew 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21. The Bible says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. See, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, the Bible said, they would enter in to the kingdom of God. We have to obey God, not just by calling on his name, but be in obedience to him. Obey him. The Bible says that many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And verse 23 said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you.
Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
The Bible tells us that there are a lot of people that will be turned away because they have done the right thing the wrong way. They have worshiped God not according to his word in spirit and in truth. That's where it starts. And worshiping God the wrong way. We have to make sure that we are doing what God has commanded us to do according to his word. And some may say that, well, my grandmother, my grandfather worshiped God this way. God did not say that grandma and grandpa was the way. He said, I am the way. And this is who we have to obey. I want to give another follow-up scripture to this. And we'll find that in the book of Matthew chapter 25. And let's look at verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. The Bible says that, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Those that are on the left. You see, we want to be on the right. I want us to notice something that, you see, hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, God has not invited us to go there. He invites us into the kingdom. He welcomes us. The doors are open for us to come into the kingdom. This is where we have been invited. Now, we haven't been invited to go to hell. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever gone to a place where you haven't been invited? People don't have to treat you so kind if you have not been invited. You see, the hell is for the devil and his angels. God invites us to come. But the Bible tells us that one day, and we know that when Jesus ascended up into heaven, that he sat down on the right hand of God. And that's where he is today. But one day, Jesus is going to get up and close the door. And there will be many that will knock on that door, will not be able to enter in to eternal life. The Bible teaches us that we all have to obey God. I want to give one follow-up scripture, and I'll move on into this lesson. Let's look at the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a follow-up verse to those that will be cast out. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 5. Let's take a look at that. The Bible says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Bible gives a bleak picture of those that did not obey God. It tells us that one day they will be swept away like debris. They will be condemned on the day of judgment, and they will be punished everlasting. So the sinner will not be able to stand at the judgment. And so we see this morning, doing the right thing the wrong way is very devastating. Now I want us to, just to show this, to just to set the lesson up, what I'm speaking about, I want us to look at the book of Mark chapter 7. And we'll take a look at doing the right thing the wrong way. The book of Mark and chapter 7. I'm moving kind of slow with this lesson this morning because I want to just do not to go through this scripture fast, but I want to get the understanding of really what the Bible is teaching here. In the book of Mark chapter 7, and I want us to look at verse 1. We read a few passages of scriptures. The Bible says, then
came together unto him, the Pharisees, and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples, speaking of Jesus' disciples, eat bread with defiled, and that they say with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, often eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Now, speaking this morning, these are not the elders that we find in the book of Acts. You're talking about their ancestors. That's what they're speaking of. He says, and when they come from the market, except they wash, the Bible says they eat not, in verse 4, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold as a washing of cup and pots and brassen vessels and of tables. And the Bible says, and then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders? He answered and said unto them, speaking of Jesus, well have Esaias prophesied of you. And notice what Jesus called them. He said, hypocrites. He said, Esaias told the truth about you. He said, hypocrites. He said, as it is written, this people honored me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He said, howbeit, in verse 7, in vain do they worship me. Now, does God want to be worshipped? Yes. God wants to be worshipped. But he also teaches us that there are some people that worship him in vain. And if we worship God in vain, it doesn't do us any good, because God is not going to accept it. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. Notice, now these people are doing the right thing. They are worshiping God, but they are worshiping him in vain. The Bible says in vain. In verse 7, do they worship me? Teaching. Now, you want to know how to mess up the worship? Is the teaching. When the teaching is wrong, then the worship is wrong. We have to get the teaching right. We want to worship God the right way, get the teaching right. The Bible says, does God want us to teach? Yes, God wants us to teach. What does he want us to teach? The Bible says that for doctrine, and this is what God wants us to teach, is his doctrine. Teach doctrine. Remember what Peter says? If any man speak, let him speak as the articles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability which God giveth. God wants us to teach doctrine. Notice what the Bible says. He says that, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine, notice, the commandments of men. This is not what God wants us to teach, is the doctrine of men. He wants to teach the doctrine of Christ, not the doctrine of men. And that's what so many people have been caught up in. This morning, they sat down to worship God, just like us this morning, but they're teaching some doctrine that some man made up. They're not teaching the doctrine of God, because we see this morning that when we do that, it's in vain. The Bible says that in verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do. The Bible says in verse 9, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition.
rejecting the commandments of God to keep some tradition of grandma, grandpa, or some man-made doctrine. We reject God's commandment. And the Bible says that when we do that, we are worshiping God in vain. Because God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And God has laid out in His Word on how we are to worship Him. We don't have to think about what to do or how to do it. It has been laid out in God's Word how to worship Him. And I just want you just to bring this about this morning. And I just want to show us this morning from the Bible that when we do that, worship God the wrong way, then it does not do us any good. Notice something else about this, and I want to give a couple of examples here just to back up this lesson. I want us to look at a few passages of Scripture in the old book. But one thing, if we realize that we have been doing the right thing the wrong way, then we have to correct that through God's Word. We have to correct it. You see, I want to give us a couple of examples. Now look at the book. The only way that we can do this is get the teaching right. Once we get the teaching right, then we can get the doctrine right and we can get the worship right. But that teaching has to be according to God's Word. I want us to notice that when we get the teaching right, then man is not in the way when we get the teaching right. In the book of Genesis, I want us to look at a passage, Genesis chapter 4. And I just want to give two examples here how someone can do the right thing the wrong way. Notice here, in the book of Genesis chapter 4, I want to give these two examples. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of ground. Notice, says the Bible says in verse 3, saying, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. I want us to notice something this morning. You got these two boys, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel of the same mother and father came to the same place at the same time to worship God. And they both brought their sacrifices. Now they were doing the right thing. They came to worship God and to bring their sacrifices. But one God accepted, and the other one he didn't. Here, these two boys at the same place, worshiping the same God that we worship, and God said that one he accepted his offering, and the other one he didn't. Why is that? Because God teaches us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And the Bible tells us that Cain brought forth a bloodless sacrifice. He was a groundkeeper. He tilled the ground. He grew fruit. And this is what he brought God. Was the best fruit. I'm quite sure that fruit was beautiful because the ground had not experienced the sin that it has experienced now. He brought his fruit to God. And God had asked for a blood sacrifice.
And Abel brought a blood sacrifice unto God, and that one God accepted, but Cain, he did not. We just can't serve God any way that we want and expect God to receive it. He won't accept it. We have to do what God has commanded us to do. We have to obey him. Now notice what the Bible teach here. He tells us that in verse 5, said, but Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Now notice, God was going to forgive Cain. He says that, for if thou does well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou does not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And the Bible says, and Cain talked with Abel and his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, he got arrogant with God when God asked him that question, where is thy brother? In other words, he said, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know where he is. Am I my brother keeper? But God was going to forgive him. He said, if thou doest well, shall not thy offering be accepted? And the Bible tells us that Cain began to lie, because he knew where his brother was. And you know what the Bible says about a liar? A liar will be cast into everlasting fire. All liars, the Bible says, in the book of Revelation, will be cast into fire. And you know who is the father of lies? It's the devil. The devil is the originator of a lie. He's the one lied from the beginning, and he's the father of all lies. So when we tell a lie, we know where it's coming from. It's coming from the devil, because he's the father of it. And I want us to know something else, is that when we do things the wrong way, we are under the curse of God. That's why we want to make sure that we do the right thing, the right way. That's just one example of God not accepting things any way that people want to offer him. I want to give one more example, and we'll find this in the book of Leviticus. The only thing that I'm doing is just changing the name of the boys and their parents. Leviticus chapter 10. I want us to look at that passage of scripture. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1. The Bible says, Nadab and Abihu, the son of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered, notice, strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Now, these boys knew what to offer. The word has already gone out on what God wanted. They knew how to worship God. But they brought strange fire, which God commanded them not. They were priests of the lower priesthood. They were attending to the daily activity of the priesthood. And they came together, just like you and I this morning. And I know that the church had not been established then, but they came together before the Lord just like we come in this morning. And the Bible says that they brought something that God did not tell them to bring. Strange fire. And notice what happened. The Bible says that They offer strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded not. And the Bible says, and there went out from the Lord, and fire, and went out, and say, and there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. God killed both of them. I'll tell you something else. God didn't even allow Aaron to mourn his own son. They brought strange fire, which God commanded not. Whenever you hear people say that one church is just as good as another one, that's strange. That's strange, brothers and sisters, because God sent his only begotten son into this world to die for us. And Jesus came into this world, and he died upon that cruel cross for us. And before he did that, he established his church. In Matthew chapter 16, we see that Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. And he built that church, and he put salvation in the church. That's where salvation is. The only place salvation is in the church of Christ that we can find in this Bible. That's the only place where salvation is. There's salvation no other place. And you find people that have gone and got baptized in these different religions out here, in these different institutions, and they say that somebody teaching them that they're saved. That's strange. The only place that a person can be saved is in the church of Christ. That's where salvation is. And if anyone here this morning have been baptized into those institutions, into some religious organization, and someone taught you that you were saved, that's strange. You have done the right thing the wrong way. You've been baptized, but you did it the wrong way. And we have to make that right. Anytime that you see a woman get up in the pulpit and preach, that's strange. Because God has not ordained women to preach. He have not authorized a woman to get up and preach. Now, I don't have anything against women, neither does God have anything against women, but God just didn't authorize a woman to get up and preach. And whenever you see that, that's strange. And for a person to teach this morning that you can be saved in any church, that's strange. We have to make that right. And I want you just to look at a few passages of Scripture. We come to the conclusion. It's whenever we find that we have done the right thing the wrong way, we have to correct it. I just want to look at this passage of Scripture, and we come to the conclusion in the book of 2 Corinthians this morning. 2 Corinthians, we want to look at chapter 6. And verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 17. If we have that, let's take a look at it. When we find that we have done the right thing the wrong way, the Bible says that, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and teach not the unclean things, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Brothers and sisters, that's what we have to do. When we have realized that we have done the right thing the wrong way, we have to come out from among those things and do what God has commanded us to do. Some people teach that just a sprinkling of water is a baptism. That's strange. The Bible doesn't teach that. Some people teach that you can be just called on the name of the Lord and you're saved. There's not but one thing wrong with that. It's not true. There's something that you and I have to do if we want God to accept
our confession, the Bible tells us that first of all, we must hear God's word, Romans 10 and 17. And after hearing it, we must believe it. In the book of St. John, chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus tells us that, he said, except ye believe that I am he said, you will die in your sins. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And after believing that, the Bible tells us that if we die in our sins, then where he is, we cannot come. So we have to get those sins off of us. We have to believe. After hearing God's word, believing, after believing, we must repent. Luke 13 and 3 say, I'll tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In other words, that we have to turn from the things that we have been taught. If we can't find them in the Bible, we have to repent of those things. And Luke said, if we don't repent, he says that we will perish. After repenting, we must make the good confession. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ and that God has raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. And a lot of people look at that scripture and they'll stop right there. You see, the only thing you have to do is call on him, and Jesus said he'll save you. But the Bible says, with the heart, with this mind, we believe it unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And then we are baptized. And notice in baptism, the Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, said, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And this is where we put him on, right here. I want you to realize something. I was in a religious organization that taught me that I was saved before I was baptized. That's what I came through. And I got baptized, but I knew nothing about having my sins washed away. And I was taught that I was already saved. I was just going through a process as I outward show to everyone else that I had become a Christian. That was the wrong baptism. Do you know I had to go back into that water again? I had to do it right. I had done the right thing, which is baptized, but I did it the wrong way. I had to go back and do it the way God say do it, to be accepted with God. The book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put him on. Then once we come up out of the water grave of baptism, we are new creatures. We start to walk in the newness of life. And when we stumble and we fall, we're to repent, confess our faults, and ask for the prayers of the righteous. If we have sinned a sin that has brought shame to the church, we need to make that right with our brothers and sisters, as well as with God, that we might be reinstated back into the fold. And while we stand this morning, if you just need prayer, while we sing the chosen selection, we may make the good confession. Shall we stand?